This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Jewish Crypsis, Half Jews, Part 3. I'd like to wrap up what I have to say, at least for now, about half Jews and part Jews. I think that this installment, I don't think, is going to be very much about half Jews particularly. It's more just continuing to follow the thread that I first started to tug on in parts 1 and 2. And I think that the value that I didn't even foresee when I started this, of scrutinizing half Jews, this whole concept of half Jews, as just one facet of who the Jews are and this idea of Jewish identity, is how it's revealed pretty clearly the biological nature of Jewishness. And this time I'd like to talk about some work that I've been doing just recently and made a blog post about these past few days, about a new poll that's out from Pew, polling the Jews about what it means to be a Jew and asking them all sorts of questions that probe Jewish identity and the nature of Jewishness. And I don't want to reiterate what I've already said in that blog post. I'll link to it and people can read that if they're curious about it, but I'll just try and sum up what I had to say and read a couple of things that I thought were most valuable in this Pew report, and add to what I've already written, supplement it with some further thoughts that I've had since. The first paragraph, before I even get into reading some of these sections, I want to say that it dovetails not only with this focus on half Jews that I've been doing just most recently, but this whole long series here on Jewish Crypsis, which could just as easily have been titled Jewish Identity, because that's what it is. The Crypsis is inherent in their identity. It's the central characteristic of Jewish identity is this lie, essentially, about who they are. And here, this poll puts it right out in front, makes a big deal about Jews and Jewishness being a religion. And at the same time, if you read the report itself, it says very clearly that even the Jews don't believe that being a Jew is about religion. And it says it in many different ways, but it says it pretty much flat out in several places. So that's the main takeaway of the report, is I can point out that it's this duplicity that's at the heart of Jewishness. And I'd like to give an example here of some of the double talk, implying that Jewishness is about religion, and religion as most Christians or most people, most non-Jews, understand religion in the theological, ideological, spiritual sense. And this paragraph comes from the page that's titled Who is a Jew? In the Pew Report. It starts, "One of the first decisions that had to be made in conducting this study and analyzing its results was to answer the question, who is a Jew? This is an ancient question with no single timeless answer. On the one hand, being Jewish is a matter of religion. The traditional matrilineal definition of Jewish identity is founded on halakha, Jewish religious law. On the other hand, being Jewish is also a matter of ancestry, ethnicity, and cultural background. Well, they're talking about two hands as if they're two different things, but it's really the same thing. As we talked about in part two, this matrilineality and patrilineality and the whole controversy and smokescreen about that is what it comes down to is the Jewish religious law is really not a matter of religion so much as it is a matter of ancestry, as this paragraph phrases it, a matter of ancestry or biology, really. There, another thing that comes out of the report, and I won't read specific passages, but is this other point that I've made before, that the central common concern of what they identify as religion and the most religious people is this concern for themselves as a group, this peoplehood is what some of them call it. The religion itself has all sorts of different sects that have all sorts of different ideological points that they differ on. But what they have in common is that religion serves as a mechanism by which the Jews can organize collectively and pursue their collective interests. That's the purpose, the main purpose, the core purpose that they all enjoy and participate in to the extent they participate in Jewish quote-unquote religion. The structure of the poll itself and the commentary, Pew's commentary on the results, contains clear indications of this, what I ended up calling the primacy of ancestry, though they never explicitly state it in those terms. In fact, it's this pretense that it's actually religion, even when they're talking about how it's not and describing how it's not about religion. The first point is that the definition of who is a Jew breaks people answering the poll participants, down into four separate categories: Jews by religion, Jews of no religion, and both of those categories are considered Jews. So in other words, religion or not doesn't matter to Jewishness. So right there, it's implicit. Again, not stated explicitly, but it's right in front of your face. And then the other two categories are considered non-Jews, or I think of them as the confused or deluded people. The first being people, and this is their phrase for it, people of Jewish background, which are people who have Jewish parents but have in some way renounced their Jewishness, don't think of themselves as Jewish or have adopted some other religion, some spiritual, theological, ideological religion, and discarded their Jewish religion, their care for the Jewish collective. And then the fourth category is people of Jewish affinity, which are people who delude themselves they have no Jewish parent at all, they have no Jewish heritage or ancestry, but they feel Jewish for some unexplained reason. And as I say, both of those two latter categories are considered non-Jews. And the point I made in the blog post is that the fact that they have Jewish parents is really what decides, what distinguishes those two groups. What they believe doesn't, it isn't what's critical. If you're born to a Jewish parent and you don't profess to believe in God or in have a particular religion, then you're considered a Jew of no religion. You actually have to actively think adopt some other religion or explicitly discard, denounce your, or renounce your Jewishness to even get into that third category of people of Jewish background. Anyway, moving along here, this focus on the parents is a hint that it's about ancestry. Jewishness is about ancestry. It seems like a strange question if it were applied to Methodists or Presbyterians or some other Christian sect or Hindus or any other religion. And that's why it seems odd, is because Jewishness is about ancestry. And the final point, probably I thought the most strong point that had to be pulled out, teased out. I was actually curious, why didn't they ask the people who they asked the first question, do you consider yourself a Jew by religion? Well, what about people who have converted? And I thought they didn't ask any of those people if their parents were Jewish. They just skipped that question. Why didn't they put it first? You know, since it is obvious, or at least by close examination, it's obvious that ancestry is the important or primal factor. Why didn't they ask that question first? And it's because of this pretense that it's not. The pretense that it's this disguise, this religion is as a disguise. Well, anyway, what they tried to bury is that they did ask the people who claim to be Jewish by religion whether they had Jewish parents or not. And it turns out that overall, amongst the two Jewish categories, that 96 to 97% of those people have Jewish parents, at least one Jewish parent. So the way I phrased that was, in other words, Jewishness is 96 to 97% a matter of ancestry and not religion. Religion comes second, even though they try to put it out front and make it seem like it is. All right, so I'm beating that dead horse enough, I think. They actually state it pretty explicitly in a paragraph that's worth reading. Nearly all Jews say they had at least one Jewish parent. That makes it pretty clear. You know, with the purpose of religion, and there's no doubt it's important to Jews, but it serves as a sort of euphemism. The profession of religion, and even more so than the simple words and profession of it, is the act of participation and practice of the religion, of the ceremonies and the rituals and so forth, is a cryptic demonstration of commitment, of loyalty to the tribe. And that's, I don't think I've mentioned that word at all in this series on half-Jews, but that's a word that the Jews apply to themselves. They call themselves members of the tribe sometimes. They talk about the tribe, meaning themselves as a group, which is just another indication of their peoplehood, of their biological nature rather than ideological. Interesting thing about this poll is that it doesn't actually distinguish half Jews. It doesn't break out half and part Jews, at least not explicitly. There's no detailed separate statistics for how half Jews or part Jews answered questions. It just considers them either Jews by religion or Jews of no religion. And in fact, there's even less Jews of no religion that have no Jewish parents because of the way they phrased the question. I'll leave that for you to read the poll itself to see the little subtle trick that they play with that. But what you see where half Jews come into it is they're implicit in the hyperbolic sky is falling type of spin that some Jews are putting on this report. When they write their reaction to this poll and its analysis and the results, they put their focus on the sky is falling. And I'll provide a few samples here. There's one from a very brief piece in Time magazine, but the title kind of says it all: Jewish Identity Crisis Revealed in a New Pew Survey. And one of the last paragraphs is 79% of non-religious Jews have married outside the faith, while only 36% of religious Jews have intermarried. Now, intermarriage and marrying outside the faith, and I'll point out there that outside the faith business is the part of the pretense that it's about religion, is what produces half Jews and part Jews, is marrying outside the faith, the intermarriage. So that's how they come into it implicitly. The Jews are, they see half Jews as an existential threat. They don't see it as salvation for the Jews, that there are more Jews. They don't consider those people Jews generally, and one step away from not being a Jew entirely. In fact, that's the point they make, is that when Jews intermarry, that their children then are much more likely not to be raised with a Jewish identity, in other words, the religion, and then not to marry other Jews, at least not overt Jews. And that's one of the things that gets glossed over, is when they talk about a Jew marrying someone, a Jew of no religion marrying someone else who's not a Jew, well, at least in some of those cases, and probably in a lot of them, it's just a Jew who doesn't profess any Jewish religion marrying another Jew who doesn't profess any Jewish religion. That comes out in that subtlety about asking about Jewish parents or whether they were raised Jewish, in the pew poll. The other thing about this general sky is falling type of reaction is it talks about the shift and how the older Jews are the ones who pretended more that they were Jews by religion, that it was all about religion, and that the younger Jews are less pretending about that. They don't see the need to pretend that it's about religion. And what they overlook, of course, or don't mention in this, is that the younger Jews eventually become older Jews, and that there's always been a trend. As Jews get older, they become more serious about their Jewishness. They become more obsessed with all things Jewish. And so there's that point. Another thing that comes out of the report that I didn't call attention to in my blog post is the fertility rates of the core Jews. The ones the most religious are the most racial, the most racially aware, and the most concerned with purity. And their fertility rate is twice what the general population's rate is, something like 4.2, whereas the general population is 2.1. And this is in America. This poll is of Jews living in America. And these fertility rates are also living in America. So there's no real demographic threat to the Jews, and that's why I call it this sky is falling type of or describe it as a sky is falling type of thing. The Jews specialize in that. They are panicked and sounding the alarm about this, as if there's something to worry about, that Jews are going to cease to exist because of this. And that's exactly the terms they put it in, because of the intermarriage rate being so high. They see it as a threat to Jewish continuity. There was another link that I'll provide here is to an article in Slate.com titled Pew Poll on Jewish Identity. Jews are intermarrying, aren't raising their kids Jewish, and don't believe in God. And then the title on the page itself is Jews Are Leaving Faith Behind. Is that bad for the Jews? Which is the typical way that Jews think about things. Is it good or bad for the Jews? Who's a Jew, and is it good or bad for the Jews? Again, we see here the pretense that it's about faith. We see also the central number one concern of Jews, which is with the Holocaust, in this article. The woman writing it admits that she ended up marrying a non-Jew, and then she says an Episcopalian to be exact, again, pretending that it's about religion, that comparing Jewishness to Episcopalian rather than saying that, well, he's Irish or he's English or he's, you know, whatever his actual ethnicity is. And she says that she's not sure how she's going to raise her Jewish daughter, who she acknowledges is Jewish by lineage, at least by that matrilineal rule that the Jews say they go by. Her last paragraph is, the notion that American Jews are eschewing religion so broadly makes me a little sad. We're worried for Jewish continuity, or guilty for being part of the problem. I can't see myself bringing my daughter to temple every Friday to honor a God I don't believe in. So here's all of the elements mixed together. Pretends that it's about God and religion, and yet it's about Jewish continuity. She says it explicitly. Continuity of what? She's not talking about the continuity of Jewish belief. She's talking about the continuity of the Jewish people. And she feels guilty for being part of the problem. That's an interesting note. I've mentioned this before, that whites are encouraged to feel guilty about caring about whites and what's good for whites, whereas Jews are encouraged to feel guilty if they don't feel concerned enough and don't do enough for Jewish continuity. Worrying about white continuity is racism. It's considered bad. You're stupid, crazy, and evil if you care about white continuity. And more on that in a bit here, but this article, she's actually reacting, the woman writing the Slate article is actually reacting to a New York Times article, which cites several significant or big Jews and their reactions, but along the same lines. This, if anything, the woman writing in Slate had a less alarmed reaction because she's herself has already married out. But the Jews quoted in the New York Times article use phrases like a very grim portrait. This poll reveals a very grim portrait of the health of the American Jewish population. It's very stark. Older Jews are Jews by religion. Younger Jews are Jews of no religion. Well, why does it matter? They're still Jews, right? Well, why it matters is because of this business about Jewish continuity. It says that this phrase of Jewish continuity comes from Jewish leaders, that this is what the phrase that they use for it. And they point out that Jews, and here's the interesting thing about it. They talk about how they reveal, again, you have to pick it out by finding the individual sentence where something like this is said. Jews with religion, and remember, that's 97 and 98, or what is it, 96 to 97% of them have Jewish parents themselves. But of these Jews with religion, 93% of them said they're raising their children to have a Jewish identity. So it seems like there's not much of a problem here with Jews remaining Jews. What's happening is they're throwing off into the general population around them lots of quasi-Jews, Jews who are in some way defective as Jews or partially Jewish in some way in their mind or genetically. Also in this New York Times article, it's interesting because there are some actual sober demographic predictions. One Jewish sociologist points out that what's going to happen is that eventually in the second half of the 21st century, there's going to be less non-Orthodox Jews because of those birth rates. And there's going to be a rising fraction of Jews that are Orthodox. That's really the shift that's important as far as how many Jews there's going to be in the future. Whether it's going to go up or down really depends upon how fast the Orthodox make babies. And it also portends, this poll portends a growing polarization between the religious and the non-religious Jews. And we saw that in the last installment. I talked about how the quoted some Jew talking about how the Orthodox Jews already shun to a certain extent Reform Jews for marriage because of their concern over bloodlines, the cloud over Reform bloodlines, because the Reform Jews allow patrilineality. They allow mixing. They allow half Jews to sneak in to the Jewish gene pool, and that the Orthodox just don't even, in a manner of speaking, don't even consider the Reform Jews Jews. In the sense that they don't want to marry them, have children with them because of that. Now, I said I was going to get to something else. At the bottom of the page of that Slate, the same Slate article that referred me to this New York Times article, was an interesting headline. It read, newly discovered, quote, Nazi bride school, unquote, curriculum includes lesson on how to be, quote, sustainers of the race, unquote. And I thought, boy, that's curious. I mean, here, this woman had just finished her article by talking about her concern for Jewish continuity, as if that was a perfectly natural and normal thing, even for somebody who it's something to feel guilty about, in fact, because she had married out and she had maybe harmed, she was thinking, Jewish continuity. And yet here's this article that seems to be pathologizing and demonizing non-Jews, the Nazis, for wanting to sustain their race. And you go to that article, and it's titled, the actual title of it is, "At Least You're Not a Nazi, Not at a Nazi Bride School." And it starts off by saying, "I defy you this Tuesday to dream up something more horrifying than the phrase, quote, Nazi bride school, unquote." These training academies for Reich wives-to-be cropped up throughout the late 1930s to usher young maidens toward their spiritual and reproductive destinies. Classes designed to, quote, mold housewives out of office girls, unquote, covered cooking, ironing, gardening, childcare, appropriate cocktail conversation, how to polish boots and daggers, and more. Now, I can understand why this is regarded as horrible from a Jewish feminist point of view, which is it was a Jewish feminist writing this, because she sees the Nazis, any white people really, as a racial enemy, and in this case, doing something that's right and good and healthy for them, something that the Jews unapologetically pursue for themselves. So, yeah, that's it's interesting, though, to see that expressed so clearly, that they're horrified by that, and to see it put side by side with another Jewish woman's opinion about the guilt she feels over, I guess, not going to a Jewish bride school, not taking it to heart what they would have taught her in Jewish bride school. As far as phrases that horrify, yeah, I can think of two. We've already talked about them. People of Jewish background and people of Jewish affinity. The Jews themselves are horrified by those phrases, but non-Jews, especially white people, should be horrified by those phrases, because both of those categories of people don't openly identify their background, or in some cases don't even appear to be Jewish, but they do sympathize to a certain extent with Jews. They favor Jews. It affects their political views, what they advocate, how they argue. In political terms, it makes them more liberal. It makes them more likely to be anti-white, anti-racist, in favor of open borders. So it's important, and it's actually horrifying to think that these people go about doing these things and aren't recognized for who they are. What else did these Nazi bride schools do? Oh, acquire a special knowledge of race and genetics so that they might fulfill their calling as, quote, sustainers of the race, unquote. There's nothing wrong with that idea. And in fact, I won't have time to get into it in this installment, as I had thought I might, but we're going to talk about the Nuremberg Laws in the next installment. And in fact, when you look up half-Jews and how, in a roundabout way, I came to this, is that's the first thing that you run into. When you go and read about half-Jews, the very first thing they put in your face is the Nuremberg Laws and how stupid and crazy and evil it is that anybody would think that they could classify Jews, accept Jews, that it's just unacceptable that anybody do it. And I'll have a lot more to say on that the next time. Join me then.